Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve. This is July. Jews do lie, folks. July the 27th, 2018. And we're going to be doing a special occasion show. In fact, it's a couple of obituaries. It seems like people close to identity or on the periphery of identity have been dropping like flies, including white nationalists, because one of the people we're going to be discussing is Mr. Olaf Childress, the neoconservative or neo-Confederate from Alabama, publisher of the First Freedom newspaper. And we'll also be talking about Harold Covington. And Pastor Steve will give you more information about Harold, because he knew Harold in the old days. In the old days, okay?
And the new days.
And a new
I've known
day.
Harold for forever. So.
Okay. But let's start with Olaf Childress. And there's an article here. It's actually by the Southern Poverty Law Center, dated November 30th, 2008. And I was actually with Mr. Childress during this event. I drove all the way down to Memphis, Tennessee, with a couple of friends to support his activity against the 14th Amendment. So this is the SPLC talking about what he did was he outfitted a hearse, and in the back of the hearse he put the 14th Amendment, and he was declaring the 14th Amendment dead. And a very colorful character. He had a really low voice, a very thick southern drawl, which sounded exactly like Foghorn Leghorn, the Warner Brothers chicken character. Okay, and if you remember that character at all,
Well,
yeah,
I say now, son, y'all can't do that now, son.
you're
That
not
was
a
hilarious.
Right. Oh, it's hilarious. You're not a chicken. You're a chicken hawk. Right? Most of those shows were about a baby chicken hawk finally realizing he's not a chicken, but he's a chicken hawk. He's supposed to eat chickens, not associate with chickens. Anyway, a neo-Confederate publisher known for bashing black people and Jews. I like him already.
Oh my.
Plots to
Imagine
bury.
that.
Yeah, right. Plots to bury the 14th Amendment. Don't expect Olaf Childress to shed any tears when he puts the 14th Amendment 6 feet under. Excuse me. And Childress isn't speaking metaphorically either. The neo-Confederate stalwart plans to transport a casket bearing a copy of the 14th Amendment from his southern Alabama home to the shores of the Potomac River for burial. Okay, so I'm not sure. I think his ride started somewhere in Texas, although he may have started in California. I don't remember exactly. But me and my two friends met him in Memphis, and we visited several. Basically, what he did was he was looking for parks that had some kind of enclosed facility, or a covered facility, like a gazebo or, a bandstand or some such structure where people could gather outdoors but still have a covering. And so that's what we did. We went from park to park looking for such structures, and then we would have a lecture and wait for the crowd to gather. And sometimes we had, maybe 10 people. Sometimes we had 20 to 30 people, because these were unannounced. He would just stop where he decided to stop and would begin talking, kind of like the soapbox derby. Anyway, naturally, he says, we'll conduct a little ceremony and we'll have a caravan going to Washington, D.C., Childress told the intelligence report. There'll probably be quite a convoy by the time we get there. The vehicle carrying the deceased will be none other than Childress's Death to the 14th Amendment hearse. And it was a hearse, folks. After buying a 1995 Buick Roadmaster about a year and a half ago, Childress outfitted it with a magnetic Confederate battle flags on both front doors and the words Death to the 14th Amendment on the rear doors. The back of the hearse directs fellow travelers to his website, www.14thfraud.com. I haven't gone there recently, so I don't know if this website is still up or not. Probably not, because this is dated 2008. The 14th Amendment to the Constitution, ratified in 1868, granted full citizenship rights to all people born in the United States, including former slaves, and barred states from denying any resident equal protection under the law. I'm not sure if it actually did all that, as the SPLC claims, because I don't
think
they say I don't think they got the right to vote. Okay, and they were segregated, you know, up until 1965. So the 14th Amendment didn't accomplish much of that. They're claiming it did, but it in fact did not. The amendment is one of the legal foundations for desegregation, and it was ultimately used for that purpose in the 1960s and other civil rights initiatives. Childress, a 32-year resident of Silver Hill, Alabama, population 616, announced the amendment's upcoming internment in the September issue of his newspapers, The First Freedom. Okay, many of you people are probably familiar with The First Freedom. Motto, inviting the Zionist-controlled mediocrity to meet a rising free South. Okay, well, nice motto, I like it. Once he's decided on a date, he said, he'll publicize the funeral there and in like-minded media sources such as the white supremacist David Duke Report and the Political Cesspool, a white nationalist radio show. So you see, all of these are pretty much Southerners. Those who looking for a carnival atmosphere need not attend. Anytime you're conducting a funeral, it should be a somber affair, he said, and we'll try to make it fitting for the occasion. Couple more paragraphs or sentences here. For instance, the ceremony will include plenty of eulogies for the 14th Amendment, which according to Childress is illegitimate because it was never ratified. Quote, the Yankee Senate decided that they were simply going to ram this down our throats, unquote. Well, at this point in time, I agree with Childress because the Southern states, Lincoln had planned to bring the Southern states back in with white leadership. So there was no reason that they couldn't vote on this amendment. But the radical abolitionists, who were also integrationists in the pay of the Rothschilds, saw to it that no Southern state was able to vote. Because this is what, 1868? Okay, or 1865. This was after the assassination of Lincoln. Okay. And Andrew Johnson did his utmost to prevent the radical abolitionists from putting in their version of Reconstruction. Andrew Johnson was trying to use the Lincoln plan of bringing the Southern states back in under white leadership. Okay, sans slavery. That's the only condition. And the only other condition, there are only two conditions that Lincoln put on bringing those states back. Number one, the officers of the Confederacy would not be allowed to vote, and they had to get rid of slavery. Those are the only two conditions. Everybody, every other white person could vote, and but they had to get rid of slavery. And that was it. So, but of course, the radical abolitionists wanted to punish the white people of the South for engaging in the Civil War. Okay. Now, interestingly, Pastor Steve, you're from Kentucky, or actually, you're originally from Ohio, right?
Yeah, I'm originally from Cincinnati, but I've been South for a long time.
Okay.
Because even while I was living up there, I was hanging out down here.
I see. Okay.
And all my friends pretty much were from Kentucky. We had a big chapter of our motorcycle club down here. And over in Indiana, I was over in Indiana a lot with the Klan.
Yeah.
And I go way back.
Yeah.
You know, way, 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 way back.
Right. So. Well, even into the 50s, I'd say even into the war years of World War II, the Klan was very strong in southern Illinois, virtually all of Indiana, Kentucky.
Well, my grandparents were in that big march in Washington.
Okay. What,
They had their robes and they were marching down the road. They were both there, and my grandma was in the female part of the organization. She'd go to a meeting every Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was raised white. Okay. I never
How
saw
dare they?
A Negro.
Yeah.
Till I got into high school, my junior year in high school, they brought one high yellow in, and he was on the football team. We had one. And that was in Cincinnati. They had their schools and we had ours.
Yes. Yes.
And they had separate bathrooms. They had separate drinking fountains. They had them right down on Fountain Square in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. They had white and colored drinking
mm-hmm.
fountains.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I was down with my grandma, Rickenberger. That was on my daddy's side. We were very German. And a Negro went over to drink at the white drinking fountain, and some white man came up and kicked him right in the rear, lifted him up off the ground. He kicked him so hard.
Wow.
And just said, "What in the hell are you doing at the white drinking fountain, boy?"
Right. Yep. Yep.
And he freaked him out. And that's how it was downtown. There were no buses downtown. There were streetcars with overhead electric.
Right.
And gas lights downtown mm-hmm. Cincinnati when I grew up.
Man, gas
breweries all over the place because it was such not yeah. March with King Adolf Richter, the March with the Klan.
He's kidding. Yeah.
You are so bad.
Right, right.
No, they were in a Klan march in Washington where they had photographs of that. Mm-hmm. My grandparents were in that march in Washington with the Ku Klux Klan. They marched right down, right by the water. They met all around the Washington Monument and all that. I mean,
Adolf,
Klan was big.
Yeah. Adolf has also posted an article of the first 50 white South African families start resettlement in Russia.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're either
going to farm over there.
It's going to be fight or flight for all of the whites that are left there. Because, you know.
Lock and load, brothers and
right.
sisters.
It's going to be.
That's all I can say. They're not going to give you peace. I want to see what comes of the separate Cape of New Hope down there.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, maybe Pastor Martins will have more information for us on Sunday. Okay. So anyway, he says, when we get the thing buried and everybody sees that it's dead, that's going to be the end of the 14th Amendment and the end of the federal government as it has existed since 1865. He had high hopes, didn't he?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. His grand plans ran into a roadblock literally on the evening of May 29th when Childress, behind the wheel of his hearse, encountered a police checkpoint on Highway 5. As he tells it on his website in a post headlined, "Alabama's Mossad Trained Stooges Capture Politically Incorrect Hearse." He had a gift for headlines. When Silver Hill's police chief asked to see his license and insurance, he informed her, I guess the police chief was a her, or an it, these days it's an it, that she had no legal right to stop him. Yeah, he was a constitutionalist all the way. Okay. So it just goes on that they're kind of gloating about the fact that he got thrown in jail. And like Henry Ford, who put a copy of the protocols in the backseat of every Model A Ford that came off the assembly line, Childress, instead of having a horn, the when you press the horn, it played Dixie. Okay. So,
I had one of them in my pickup truck. You hit the horn. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, I remember hearing those. I've heard those in Chicago not too long ago, right? Yeah, a friend of mine has a red pickup truck with an iron cross on the back, you know, that he's had on the back of his pickup truck in the back window, I don't know, for a decade at least. And all of a sudden, when he drives around town, people are calling him a Nazi. He never used to have this problem, right? All of a sudden, his iron cross is drawing negative attention, right? So, the war's coming, folks. I don't think we have to tell you. It's here.
Well, back in the day, on Martin Luther King's birthday, we'd get about 25 to 30 of us in pickup trucks. We all had big stands in the back of the pickup trucks and had big, gigantic Confederate flags. I mean, the real big, huge ones. And we'd drive up and down Route 27, and we had loudspeaker on my pickup truck, and I had all the Klan songs of the 60s. Remember that tape?
Uh-huh.
Old niggers never die. They just smell that way. And we used to
sing that.
We used to play all those. And we'd ride up and down, and the people be lined up on the highway on Route 27 before they widened it and did all that stuff. It was the road through Somerset. Just cheering. Mm-hmm. And then we'd have a great big Klan rally out at my farm.
Yeah.
And we had we bought 50-foot telephone poles and made and cut a bunch of them and to make the crossbars, and we had 3 50-foot crosses out there.
Wow.
And we'd light them things up. You could see them all through that valley.
Yeah.
And the whole farm was surrounded by all these other farms, and people be sitting out in lawn chairs watching the big Klan rally with about 300 Klansmen on my farm.
Right. It's like 4th of July.
So you can imagine how popular I was with the faggot sheriff down there.
That's right. That's right. By the way, if you've never seen a cross lighting, it is quite a spectacle.
And we had bagpipes playing Amazing Grace. We had the whole deal, man. Right. I was Grand Dragon of the state. And we had people from all over come for that rally. We had representatives from all the states, and it was huge.
Yes. Well, my first cross lighting was in Mishawaka, Indiana, which is just east of South Bend, you know, that Catholic town called South Bend, Notre Dame University, right?
And, oh, man.
Yeah. And it was not that far from US 20. US 20 is a bypass around Mishawaka and South Bend, the four-lane highway. You can breeze through there. Well, Ray's farm was not too far from the superhighway, and when they lit that thing up, you could see it from the superhighway. Man,
well, they had a fella named Parky Scott up around Cincinnati. When I first got into Klan, I was still living in Cincinnati, and Parky's farm was right on I-71, right before you get to Kings Island.
Okay.
And we had like 5,000 people up there at one time, and one of the local newscasters tried to get in. Mm-hmm. His name was Al Schottelkotty, and he was a little Jew newscaster, and boy, they picked him up bodily and threw him over the barbed wire fence.
Wow.
And the state police... When you have that many people and everybody, and that was Ohio, everybody was packing.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like the army was up there. Yeah. And they stayed at least a mile away. They didn't stop any cars when anybody left. Nobody was taking pictures of license plates.
Right.
Those were the days
Those
now.
Those were the days, right.
Those were the days.
Yeah, and
now, well... Right.
Well, and what would happen?
Three Klansmen and 15 FBI agents.
Yeah, every time Ray had a cross lighting, the neighbors would complain and call the police, right? So the police would come by with their sirens blaring, but all they would do is go back and forth along the road. They wouldn't actually interrupt the service. And,
They wouldn't do that down when I was in Somerset.
Right, right. They would just wait for the fire to go out, and then everybody would, you know, calm down, and that would be that, right? The police did not get involved. They just pretended to get involved, right? So that was funny. It was funny to see that, okay? And a lot of those cops are actually on our side.
Well, you know, we had brothers on the force.
Right? There you go. Real brothers.
Got the special handshake. Right. They greet you on the street.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I had that when I was in prison, too. Mm-hmm. And then they'd find out about it. One of the Katsahundas would rat on them.
Yeah.
And then they'd ship them all over the map, make them sell their house and move them.
Right, right.
That's a Fed, but that's all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I just want to say a few words in respect of Olaf Childress, you know, who I got to know fairly well. You know, I only met him in person at one time for that two-three-day period that we followed him around in his hearse from Memphis, Tennessee, going east. I forget how many miles we followed him, but he is nothing but a down-home Southern gentleman. Okay, he had a sense of charm that only Southerners have. He was gracious. He was kind. He was soft-spoken, plain-spoken, and he was full of respect. You know, when he talked to you. You just don't meet people like that anymore. Certainly not in the North. Very rare to meet anybody like that in the North. So I love the man because of his ways, his mannerisms, and his true respect and his love of the white race. And he knew who the Jews were. He was not identity. I tried to explain identity to him a couple of times I met him. That's right. I met him another time because I drove down a separate time by myself to meet him. And, you know, I tried to explain identity to him, but he just wasn't getting it. He wasn't catching on. He just saw Jews as Israel. He didn't know any other better. He was too old to teach. Okay.
It's hard to teach old dogs new tricks.
Right. Right. But you couldn't have a kinder, gentler, more gracious man. But he was a rock when it came to fighting those bastards called the Zionists and the Jews. He knew what they were, and his newspaper, First Freedom, told it like it was. You know, all the evil deeds of the Jews, they were plastered over his newspaper all the time. So he was a real patriot, an absolute real patriot. So, Father Yahweh, we thank you for sending Olaf Childress into our midst and for the good work that he did while he was with us. I am sure that when the kingdom comes, Mr. Childress will be one of our member in that glorious army when Yahshua returns. So thank you, Mr. Childress, for what all the things you have done for this great country. We thank you and bless you in the name of Yahshua. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Now over to you, because you knew Harold Covington.
Oh, yeah. I proofread a lot of his books while I was in the joint.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, but then the feds would come through and raid my locker and confiscate them and rip them up, and he'd send me another one. But now, Harold was not Christian identity. He sort of mocked it.
Hmm.
I tried to witness to Harold many times, and he would say, oh, well, you think you're the true Jews and stuff like that. But as far as a white separatist, there was nobody I ever met that was stronger on white separatism than Harold.
Okay.
His books were very well written. They were not a copy of the Turner Diaries. They were on their own telling about plans. He was giving plans on how to form a white nation. And as usual, he could not get the support from the white people. How hard is it to get support for EFR? We have a few faithful people out there. But the bulk of the people just listen. They never send us a nickel. They don't contribute anything. Hard to get show hosts. By the way, starting Sunday, right after Voice of Christian Israel, there's a new show on EFR. It's Word Study with Brother Hebert. Brother Hebert is a fellow that does the calendar for us. And I have downloaded a whole bunch of his shows that are going to be on EFR. They are extremely well done. They are a one-hour show, and they rock.
Okay. So yeah, Bible study.
Well produced. He is well spoken and clear in his explanations. It's going to be a doggone good show.
Yeah.
So tune in after Voice of Christian Israel on Sunday. It follows immediately, and there's going to be a one-hour show with Brother Hebert. So that's a new show. Back to Harold.
Okay.
Old Weird Harold. Harold was a hard head. Now, that is good and bad. Okay. He had his views, and he looked down on people that would just be computer warriors and not actually do anything. They'd email back and forth and do all that stuff. And he realized that the ones that are just talkers were absolutely useless as teats on a poor hog. He was right on that. He tried to get something going in the Pacific Northwest. The Northwest Front movement. There are so many liberals up there that he was fighting an uphill battle.
Oh, yeah.
Good location, beautiful location, but the people around him are pure poison, a lot of them. You can ask Captain Witness how goofy
yeah, the Northwest is.
A lot of the people are up right there. He lives up in the Pacific Northwest, but he's one of the hardcores, okay?
Yeah.
There are a bunch of hardcores up there. But, man, they're spread few and far between, and they don't have the support among themselves that they need to really establish what Harold was penning in his books. His books are very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
They're
okay.
Great books. I loved his books.
Okay. How does it compare
but
to
Harold
the Turner Diaries?
Harold was not CI.
Okay.
Didn't want to hear any of it. Harold had been all over the country, did the Nazi routine, fought in Rhodesia.
Hmm.
He was over in Rhodesia fighting against the forces over there on the side of the whites.
Sure.
Shot down some helicopters and then had to get back to the United States. There's a lot of negatives by a lot of people about Harold. But that's usually from people that have never done or accomplished anything, never written major books. They're just sort of hangers-on. And Harold stole their thunder, and they have a lot of bad to say about Harold.
Hmm.
Harold and I didn't see eye to eye theologically, but tactically he was right on. He had a lot of great ideas. But getting a lot of these lame white people to follow anything sensible, you know how hard it is. And all the rest of the faithful out here know that they they just, you know, they'll talk, but they won't do. You know, it's all lip service.
Yeah. And, Captain
Witness,
that's not
going to get you into the kingdom.
Yeah.
These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They will cut and run if the pressure comes down on them. How many people are going to pull a trigger? How many of them are going to do it?
Yes.
Well, I did, and I did prison time over it. I was threatened. My life was threatened, and I lit them up.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Right. But all your hardcore buddies, they ran.
Well, the Kentucky militia went underground at that point because they had infiltrators. And that's the problem with the militia, is they're full of snitches and power trip people.
Right.
That's what's happened to the Klan. They're so highly infiltrated. You can't trust it.
Yeah. Interesting comment here.
The white nationalist movement in general.
Yeah.
Is got so many agent provocateurs. They don't use good common sense. Mm-hmm. Yahweh gave us superior mental capabilities. Why don't we use them?
Yeah, right. Because we're easily fooled. Right? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just think before you act. I didn't have a chance to do anything else except defend myself.
Right.
I was not given a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
So?
Well, our people are not used to deceiving others. So it doesn't occur to us that somebody might be deceiving us, i.e. the Jews, okay? So our people have to learn
this
the hard way.
These are not even Jews. These are power-tripping white people living in a fantasy world.
Yeah, right.
We've got some people that are real problems in our own race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a game, but when push comes to shove, it's not fun anymore, and they run. I'm going to take my AK and go home.
Right. Bob, it's my football. I'm taking it. We're no game today.
Game's over. I'm leaving.
But Captain Witness says Harold penned CI into his books and said that CI were the backbone of the NAR, which apparently means national. I don't know. What did he call it? What was the name?
North American Republic.
The North American Republic. Okay.
Right. Now, so, Harold mocked. Okay. CI in a lot of ways, but I got through to him, and he realized that the people who were actual doers tended to be the CI people.
Right.
Okay.
That's correct.
Like I've got now, in the last 2 weeks, I've got over 12,000 hits, almost 13,000 on my website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting an additional new 2,000 a week.
Yeah, fantastic.
How's that? And that's straight scripture study.
Yeah.
There's no possibility to troll. There's no chat room. There's no discussion. There's no comments. It's either listen to the show there or download and listen later. And that's a lot for straight scripture study, because that's mm-hmm. all my personal shows.
Right.
Or about.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all. If it's not the word, I don't fool with it. Now, I do other stuff. This is a combination show, and we do some secular stuff. We're talking about some leaders of the white right. Okay? They mm-hmm. may not have been CI,
mm-hmm.
but they had the equipment necessary to stand up like a man.
Right.
And I will give Harold Covington that. He stood up. He put himself on the front line. Harold got fat. He had diabetes. He had health problems. And he succumbed to it. And I'm going to miss him because he was an ornery fighter. Yo, Harold. I liked Harold.
Yeah. Okay.
We liked each other. But I was hardcore CI and he just couldn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wasn't really against it,
right?
But he wouldn't jump in the pool with the rest of us.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm looking at this website, and there's a lot of people that were jealous of Harold because Harold did stuff other people didn't do.
Right.
He accomplished things, and when you do something, there are all these people that wish they would have done something that's going to badmouth you. Well, they're doing the same to Harold. Harold wrote some kick-butt books. Yay, Harold. All of his stuff was good. And I loved Harold's books. He worked and worked and worked tirelessly. He could not get the white people off their dead duff. Just like all these other white movements. They move so far and then they stop. When you have to do work or things get unpleasant or it's a little difficult financially, they bail. People bail on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Now that's why Yahweh said there's going to be a remnant, a small part of the whole. Most of our racial kindred are not going to make it.
Right.
I hate to say that. They're not going to make it. There are only a few that will draw the sword. Those who withhold their sword from blood will be cursed. Read the scriptures. There's only a few. Now, Harold was one of the few.
Yeah, right.
He would stand up. I give Harold kudos for that. Whether everybody agreed with him on every issue is not important. The fact is the man actually did something.
Right.
He did something. He stood up, he wrote his stuff down, he put himself out at risk, and he did something.
Yes, yes.
And if people are so jealous and petty that they can't respect a man for his accomplishments and his firm right. stand for our race, then I don't have any respect for those people.
Right.
If they right. if they are so petty that they have to pick on Harold, especially after he's gone.
Yeah. Right. The SBLC refers to his writing style as cheesy. His novels are
yeah.
cheesy. Right. You wouldn't expect them to say anything nice about Harold, right? Right.
I don't listen to what the kikes say.
Right. Right.
I just don't yeah. just don't care. Look what happened to Pastor Butler when he was set up and he lost his place out there.
Yeah, oh man, yeah. Yeah.
He was ripped off. That was a setup.
That's right.
That was a setup. And then all these fakes tried to take over the Aryan Nations. People yeah. like August Christ, people like that.
Right, right.
And the infiltrators and the naysayers and the dividers. It, our own worst enemies are of our own people.
That's right.
Our own people that are jealous and petty.
Yeah, helping the Jews.
They want to do something, and if somebody actually accomplished anything, look how many people attack you and call you a Jew.
Right.
And you're no more Jewish than I am. And, yeah, well, after a while, I just tune them out, man.
Mm-hmm.
They have no positive input to put into the cause of our people.
Right.
They just want to tear down those who do. And I'm sick of those people. Those people are trash.
Yeah.
Don't badmouth Harold.
Yeah.
If you couldn't stand up in front of Harold or get in his face, shut up.
Yeah, right. Here's the SBLC on his obituary here. Harold Covington, I put the link in the chat room, the founder of a white separatist group who once claimed Dylann Roof's massacre of 9 people in South Carolina was a, quote, preview of coming attractions. Sure was.
Yeah.
Covington passed away on July 14th in his apartment in Bremerton, Washington. The Kitsap County Medical Examiner told Hate Watch. The Northwest Front, that is Jew Watch, I don't know, is Jew Watch still around? The Northwest Front,
maybe.
The group Covington founded, the Northwest Front, the group Covington founded and led until his death, did not announce his death until Tuesday. Quote, Harold and I disagreed about the location of a future white ethnostate, but little else except perhaps the efficacy and utility of public activism. Billy Roper, for a long time neo-Nazi with ties to the Klan, wrote on his blog after news broke. Quote, I had a great deal of respect for him, for his lifetime of dedication to our movement and our people. Roper noted that in particular, Covington was notable for opposing the inclusion of race mixers, Jews, and homosexuals into the movement, unquote. Can't be all bad. Okay, so, yeah. So
it's a rough road to hoe, folks.
Yeah.
Doing all of this, we do these shows, we have to plan them. We have to have interesting subjects. We have to have interesting guests. We have to have topics. We have to thoroughly research everything before we put it on. And then after everything's done and the show's in the can, we have to do the post-production, which is 3 times as much work as doing the show. We can talk for an hour, but then we have to load everything up and number the...
Right.
The files and put it in this website so it can download to another website and then list it in the archives, which is linked to this.
Yeah, post-production.
And on and on and on and on. You know, there's about 3 or 4 websites we have to go to and keep copying the show and putting it in here. People that aren't involved in this don't know what it takes to keep the station on the air. Brother Hebert has been around long enough and has questioned, you know, me and Eli, and has learned from us, and he got himself some really good audio programs, really, really nice. And the shows that he's producing, which will start airing tomorrow, on Sunday here, are first rate. He's real, and he's got a bunch of them, and he's been doing them in secret, and he's got a whole bunch of them ready. And I've got new shows loaded every Sunday all the way through the end of August. So more to come. I've got more waiting in the wings. I don't want to load too many up front. And so we have another show host that's going to have a real good word study on Sunday to replace some of the dead air space that we've had. We've had people come on EFR that present a good front, and then later on, they wacko out on us. Or turn out to be non-white. They present themselves as something, and then when you research them, after they've put out a bunch of drivel, a lot of it has stopped since Wickstrom passed. His little crowd has sort of slunk back up underneath the rocks. They don't have their support anymore. And that has ended a great deal of it. But there's always new ones coming out of the woodwork, like cockroaches. And, you know, Harold was on the radio. He had broadcasts. He wrote books. He wrote pamphlets. He had newsletters. He was tireless. What can you say about a guy like that? I mean, how can you badmouth a man that's willing to do that for his race?
Well, this SPLC article talks about him going to Rhodesia. And so they verified that he went to Johannesburg right after getting out of the army, wound up in Rhodesia. And, of course, they got some Jew bitch badmouthing him here. I'm not going to bother to read that. His activism, though, was soon replaced by writing, including campy occult novels. They simply will refuse to say that he was a good writer. So it was about, why occult?
Well, they controlled the publishing houses, and he had to self-publish. Because they wouldn't put his books out, because they would have been bestsellers. It's just like the Turner Diaries. He had to self-publish. And it's only a small audience that would actually buy it. But the people that actually have his novels in their possession, you better hold on to them. They're as good as gold.
Yeah, probably going to be worth a lot. Collector, even some
that, but they're one heck of a good read. They're exciting. We couldn't wait for the next one to come out. Because I passed around when I got done with his book and wrote a critique on it for him. I got the pre-publishing copies and did the proofreading. I passed them around to all the white supremacists on the compound. Everybody read them. Man, 500 people read those books when I got a book. They passed them from person to person to person to person to person.
Neat.
And they were always throwing us in the hole and raiding the
for reading the book.
Raiding the lockers and ripping up my Bibles. Ripping, tearing the Bibles to shreds. You can't have these because we say so.
Well, how are you supposed to recover your civilian?
You can't. But Yahweh has provided me with everything in spades now that I'm out. You started me out with that little bitty laptop, and I learned how to do some stuff. got computer literate pretty much on that, but it was so slow we couldn't really use it. It's all right for a backup to do some stuff, but it's an antique. Well, yeah. Then I graduated, and I got this Dell. I saved and saved and saved, and I bought this big, huge Dell. And I've got this thing maxed out, man, with RAM, and I've got like 3 terabytes on it and all kinds of programs and everything. And then I have a Hewlett-Packard backup with all the same programs. It was a 2 terabyte right out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting right underneath it, and I have 2 great big huge screens. I've got the chat room on one, and I've got all the articles and everything that we need to read on the other. And music files and everything to play with shows, because that's what it takes to keep EFR on the air.
Yeah, you're probably more computer literate than
James
most people.
Is down where he's at, and he has lousy internet right now, but he can load stuff, and then it takes a while to load. He has to check for inactive hours when everybody's not on.
Right.
And then he does what he's doing from down there. And David is so happy. He's got a marvelous place to live, and he's got a nice German Shepherd, a young female.
Yeah.
And says she's smart as a whip, and she's getting trained, and he's getting his whole place fixed up. And I'm so happy that he's out of that hellhole he was living up in the Pacific Northeast.
Yeah, right. Boston.
Atlantic Northeast, rather.
Yeah,
right. Same thing.
Yeah. East, left coast and the other left coast. Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's moved. He's happy for the first time in a long time. He was suffering up there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Now he's out, and he's in an all-white area. And the only problem is it's tick season. He has to de-tick the dog
every time
he brings her in.
Right.
But other than that, he's really got a nice place, and he so well deserves that.
Amen.
He has worked so hard.
Yes.
And Paul English is still around. He's taken a little break. He needs a break. He deserves a break. He helped build EFR, folks. And I mean, you get tired. I get tired at times. So sometimes I'll stick in a repeat for a wake-up call.
Right. Sure.
Because, you know, I'm 72 years old. And
quit
I'm
bragging.
Still at it. I'm hard at it, man. I'm not going to quit. But I get a little tired sometimes.
So how old Eli,
and Harold never quit.
Mm-hmm.
He was at it till the day he died.
Yeah, that's right.
But he had health problems, and it caught up with him.
Yeah. Well, here, the SPLC article here states, in his life, Covington crossed paths with several racist killers through the years, including Fraser Glenn Miller, a one-time colleague in the NSPA who killed 3 people at a Jewish community in center in 2014. I don't think that was ever proved.
Nope.
That he did that. They tried to pin that on the an entire group of people called the Order.
Yeah.
And he was a member of the Order, but what Glenn Miller did, Glenn Miller was an alcoholic. And then Miller ratted on the other guys, but they still were not convicted.
No.
They won that case. They were not convicted.
And then later on, Glenn Miller tried to come back in.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, but
nobody would give him the time of day. Get out of here.
Because they knew that he ratted on the rest of the Order, so there was no way he could make a comeback. He tried, but it didn't work. He tried to do that. In fact, I met him in Knoxville when Pastor Greg and the Klan down there were protesting the murder of Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. Okay, we held a big rally. Talk about helicopters and guns on the roofs. I mean, that they were getting so ready for a riot. Okay. But they had a chain link fence between us and the Antifa crowd, and some Jew pretending to be a Christian minister who was instigating violence, or tried to anyway. So anyway, that's where I met Glenn Miller, but nobody was having any of Glenn Miller, you know, his reputation.
No, he burned all his bridges.
Right.
Well, this is ancient history. This goes back for a lot of these people.
Yeah.
They've never heard all this stuff. I mean, we got tales to tell
for so
many years. You know, when I started out in the Klan, and that was the reason I resigned from the motorcycle club I was in, because I had so many Klan duties, I couldn't really do my job with
couldn't
the thing.
Do both,
and everybody
right.
said, we know why you have to leave. You're doing it for all of us.
Right.
And they really respected me for my stand. That's when I was living up in Ohio.
Okay, very good.
And it was an all-white club. We didn't have any mix.
Right,
we were straight Aryan. We were Aryan all the way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it also says that he was, I don't know what Covington ever said about Dylan Roof. Dylan Roof was not a white nationalist. Dylan Roof was a zombie. He was a mind-controlled zombie, a Manchurian candidate. He had some swastikas, you know, tattooed on his arm. And I don't know what Covington thought of Dylan Roof, but that guy was not for real. You know?
No, well, they had that blonde girl that had the swastika tattooed on her arm. And she turned out to be a snitch, and then they showed pictures of her having the tattoo removed.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I mean, she infiltrated down there at Elohim City.
Yes. Yeah,
so.
Yeah, the leader of Elohim City was approached by this woman who turned out to be an FBI snitch. They got married, and she actually had two children by him. And before he found out, she was still snitching on him, right? I mean, wow, that's dedication.
That's a hardcore snitch now.
That's right. So now, if Roof killed 9 church congregants meeting for a Bible study in Charleston, South Carolina, he was not on our side, right? Because if any of our people get violent, they don't kill Christians. They kill Jews and blacks and Latinos, right? So that should be proof right there that Roof is not one of us. He was a plant.
Well, Harold and I both agreed, and we warned people. I was against a rock and hard place. When the man pulled the gun, was going to shoot me, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It was time to fight, okay?
Yeah.
I had no choice. But we warned everybody, don't do stupid stuff. You're not going to be effective in prison.
Right.
Well, I was, because I had so many contacts and who I was. And I was proofreading for Clifton Amheiser, may he rest in peace. And did some proofreading for Harold. I reviewed his books and made suggestions, and he made some changes. I got them early before they were published. And, I was still in contact with cryptic messages back and forth with people all over.
Uh-huh.
We had to write in code. And some of the white guards that were brothers,
mm-hmm.
they had the little secret handshake. They would slip me some stuff every once in a while. We had to be very careful, because they would come down on them. The chaplain that printed all my stuff when they tried to destroy my stuff, and I'd sent it all to you. They sent him back to Iraq, put him back in the military when he was out, reactivated.
Wow.
And sent him to Iraq to get rid of him.
Right.
Never heard from him again. Don't know. He was using my translations in his sermons.
Yes.
Imagine how that went over.
Well, here's an example of his prose, which he read on the radio show. They've been given a vision of a time in some imagined but possibly not too far distant future, when all of a sudden on the street or in their office or in some trendy fern bar or Starbucks or wine and cheese boutique, a very dry sense of humor, on the Upper East Side or in San Francisco, and this is happening in San Francisco today, they will look up possibly from the laptop where they are typing in their day's quota of left-wing liberal horse manure, and they will see a young white man like Dylan Roof standing in front of them with no steroid pump policeman in blue to protect their liberal candy asses from the consequences of their own behavior. Hey, yeah. That's a threat. Well said, but it's still a threat.
Some old man.
Or a prophecy.
With a sword.
Yeah. He
continues. You know, if I found out that I was going to check out for sure,
yeah,
I would not go alone.
Yes.
Yeah. Y'all better hope I stay healthy.
Yeah. Covington continued, they will see in that young white man's eyes that he recognizes them, that he is now beyond deception or bullying or browbeating or Twitter shaming or intimidation, that he knows them for what they are, and they will look down and see that he has something in his hand. The end. Right?
Yeah.
So, that's very good writing. I like it.
Yep. It's not overt.
Yeah.
It just sort of hints that he had something in his hand. What's he got? Well, he got a peeled banana or ice cream cone.
Yeah. Or
you don't know.
Or a cell phone.
Candy bar.
Yeah, right. But the left is self-destructing as we speak.
Because, oh, man, they're going nuts.
Yeah, they're hating on each other.
They're frantic.
The political correctness gone crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, they never respected their own. They'll stab each other.
Right. That's what they do.
As easily as they stab us. That's their nature. They're parasites. They're scum. They cannot behave any other way.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do you, you know, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah. So anyway, Harold Covington, job well done. You did the best you could without ever really getting into identity. But
you were a straight-up brother. That's all I can say.
Right. Okay, any last words? Because we're almost out of time here, Pastor Steve.
Lock and load. Keep your weapon oiled and clean.
All right, very good. Okay, folks, we did two obituaries today. One for Harold Covington, another for Olaf Childress, both true patriots. They were both aware of Christian identity. I made Olaf Childress aware of Christian identity, and I guess you tried to make Harold Covington aware of it.
Oh, he was aware. He followed a different path.
Yeah, he just went a different way. But still a white nationalist and a patriot, and I'm sure a constitutionalist as well. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, folks. Thanks for listening to today's show. And, man, we've had a lot of obituaries lately.
Yep.
It's like five or six or seven already this year.
Lots of Jews biting the bullet,
too. Yeah, that's good, too. Yeah. We won't bother with their obituaries. We'll just tell their stories, okay? All right, folks. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. And we'll see you next time.
See you later. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.